Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
All right, great to have David Noble in the house here on this Thursday. We're taking your phone calls as well. And then let me look at the calendar for the rest of the. I just started getting fired up early on. Yeah, 8 o'clock hour, we'll have open phones. We don't have any guests scheduled then. I think Congressman Troy Downing is going to give us a quick phone call in the 9 o'clock hour. David, this is kind of a fun story. I don't know if, if you're a big baseball fan or if you watched the congressional baseball game was last night.
Well, I saw Troy Downing's baseball card, his rookie card.
His rookie card, yeah. Well, how cool is this? He got to be number 47. That was his jersey. That's kind of the lucky number, you know, right now with Donald J. Trump, 47th president of the United States. But I think, man, when I posted a couple of photos of Troy Downing with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and then Steve Scalise. Remember Steve Scalise? He got shot by that crazy Bernie Sanders supporter who went and shot up the congressional baseball game practice, so when he was targeting Republicans. And
right, and remember, nobody blamed Bernie Sanders or the Democrats or anybody for that. The media never said, hey, your rhetoric is causing people to go out and try to shoot Republicans. You know, we never did that.
Media never did that either. But your silence is violence. But a crazed Bernie Sanders supporter shooting up a bunch of Republicans says, no, that's not Bernie's fault. It's not their rhetoric's fault.
But a big year for baseball here in Montana then with Troy Downing being number 47 on the congressional team and then getting high school baseball off to start. By the way, shout out to the Gallatin Valley Outlaws. I played American Legion ball in the Gallatin Valley Outlaws.
Oh, did you?
And so they're still rocking and rolling. So if anybody's out there listening and just a great organization out there in Three Forks, they take kids from Manhattan and Three Forks and Whitehall and some of the other smaller communities and a great American Legion program.
Yeah. So in Great Falls, I think they're trying to raise money so they can get a high school baseball program in addition to Legion up and running. But the Republicans won. They beat the Democrats. It was kind of funny watching the congressional baseball game because the Democrats were missing all these easy catches and the ball was like bouncing out of their gloves. The people we were, casually watching it with were like, man, the Democrats just, it's just so symbolic of the Democrat Party right now. These guys just miss everything. Well, the center fielder tried to jump after a ball and just ate grass. I mean, his face was just chewing up the sod as he was, screeching across the center field. And it was just like, man, this is so symbolic of the Democrat Party right now. I think they ended up losing 13-2. It was 10-2 the last I checked with the Republicans up 10-2.
So I saw something on X recently. Apparently the Democrats, the left, they're trying to have the fitness influencer, Democrat fitness influencers, they're trying to get them to gain popularity because right now they're really upset that all of the guys and gals on social media that are really into lifting weights and fitness, they're all conservatives, they're all MAGA. And so some leftist was like posting a video and he's like, I'm doing squats for anti-ICE protest. And then his form was totally off and he's just getting ripped up. He could barely do one squat with 135 pounds on it. It was hilarious. But, these Democrats are out there trying to do stuff like that and they're failing. So.
It's just embarrassing. It's like when Elizabeth Warren tried to drink a beer and tried to look like normal everyday people. It ain't working.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Do pick up a chance for some widely scattered showers and storms developing into the afternoon. High temperatures into the upper 70s. For tonight, still that lingering chance for some showers and storms, especially in the evening, with lows in the low to mid 50s, and some patchy fog developing later on tonight. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
This is House Call for Health. Enjoy that afternoon snooze to refresh. You might want to think again. A new study shows daytime power naps could contribute to an increased risk of death. Researchers at Boston's Massachusetts General Hospital say some groups of people with irregular daytime sleep patterns have a greater risk of early death. Scientists monitored the sleep habits of more than 86,000 people with an average age of around 63. Then they compared those habits to death records and found that about 5,200 people died during an 11-year follow-up. Experts say the findings suggest premature death could be from taking longer daytime naps, fluctuating sleep patterns, or taking naps between the hours of 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine recommends power naps of no more than 20 to 30 minutes in the afternoon. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in a quick phone call here, 406-294-0970. Then we'll get reaction from David and more. Tom in Billings on the phone lines. Tom, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, David. Love the fact. Our Montana Supreme Court, the key aspects basically related to it, judge interference in Montana has been violated by our Montana Supreme Court. They've violated judicial independence. Their code of judicial conduct, they must adhere to the Montana code. You're allowing somebody under the age of 18 to have transgender surgeries and stuff like that. We don't, as a public, we do not have confidence in our Montana judiciary.
Well, yeah, I mean, we certainly have our concerns, but unfortunately, you know, it's got to translate to actual elections. I mean, we got a new Supreme Court Chief Justice, but we lost the other race, but that's why people got to get involved right now to get ready for next year. I mean, yeah, Tom, thanks for the call. David, your thoughts?
Well, the problem is that there's not very many people that know the fact that it's the Montana Supreme Court that has issued those rulings. Most Montanans don't know about those rulings. And so then you see, oh, wow, they can have trans surgeries on little kids in Montana. And a lot of people then will then start, well, what's the governor doing? What's the legislature doing? What are our senators doing? What are our Congress people doing? And it's like, folks, they can't do anything. The Montana Supreme Court is going to either throw out the legislation, has already ruled that it's unconstitutional to protect kids or whatever the ruling was. I had never read that case, but that's the problem is people don't know that. And then here we are, Montana. This still sickens to me. We're the abortion capital of the Mountain West. Everybody from all surrounding states, they all come to have their abortions here. And with some of these trans rulings from the Supreme Court, people just don't know it's coming from our Supreme Court. It's not coming from the governor. It's not coming from the legislature. It's not coming from the senators or congressmen.
Yeah, in fact, that's why it was interesting. I don't know if you heard the story that I shared in the 6 o'clock hour. The Missoulian has a report that Community Medical Center in Missoula is now, they just announced that they are no longer going to do what they call gender affirming care on minors under 18. And it's funny because, you know, the liberal Missoulian reporter is like, but why not? The judge overturned the law. So, but basically the Community Medical Center is saying, hey, we've got federal regulations now that have come down from the Trump administration. We have state regulations. So we're not going to do this. And this, you could tell this liberal Missoulian reporter is pissed because we got the ruling from our judge that we wanted. You need to keep doing this despite the law, despite the will of the people.
And despite all of the scientific evidence against it.
Yeah, despite the fact that it's been proven to cause more harm to these kids. And so that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, that's one of my pet peeves is you got some of these virtue signaling Republicans that it's like, They always want to attack their own Republicans, even though their own Republicans are the ones that are actually leading the charge on some of these issues. But it's like, oh, no, let's just complain about the Republicans instead of direct the ire where it should be, which is at the radical left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. Yeah, and the liberal media that props this nonsense up.
And you can sort of understand, like, the misconception, because the way our system is supposed to work is that it is supposed to be the elected branches of government that decide contentious and controversial public policy issues like that. So the way our system is supposed to work is that, yeah, the legislature, the governor, the senators, Congress, they are supposed to be the ones making. Unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. And I don't know what more we can do to try to get the word out to the people of Montana that it's the Montana Supreme Court issuing these rulings, and we've got to get great justices on the Supreme Court that want to enforce the law and follow the Constitution.
Yeah, which again comes down, it's just kind of like, Republican primaries. If you don't like the outcome of these Republican primaries, then start raising money and focus your efforts on getting involved and backing certain candidates at the primary level. But so many people just like to sit back and talk about it and never take action. And so you've got to raise the money for these candidates to get them across the finish line. David, you and I were talking about, man, what could we do for the woke update of the week this week? Let's start with the Trump W, though, the Trump W of the week, the Trump win of the week. I got to say, it's Colstrip, it's President Trump repealing these Joe Biden anti-energy rules that were designed to put Colstrip out of business. Yeah, President Trump is basically, and the EPA is overturning the what's called the MATS rule and the CCP climate plan 2.0. Big news for Montana, big news for Colstrip, which is good news for Butte and everybody else, too.
Yeah, and what I think people ought to know about that is that, you know, the Obama administration and the Biden administration, they intentionally put in regulations and standards on these coal power plants that they allege are like clean air standards, but they're really not. It's actually just a standard that was intentionally designed to put these coal power plants out of business because the standards literally couldn't be met by today's tech. And it wasn't supported by any kind of scientific evidence. It's like, go to Colstrip, you know, the air quality is just fine. And if you really, here's the other thing that drives me nuts about this, Aaron. If you really cared about air quality around the world and global warming, you'd be spending all of your time focused on China. You wouldn't spend a second of your time focused on Colstrip. So that shows how hypocritical and disingenuous the whole thing is.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Senator Steve Daines said this, the war on made in Montana energy is coming to an end. Rather than kowtow to the demands of radical environmentalists, President Trump put Montana workers and families first. Montanans can go to bed tonight knowing their energy sources and jobs are secure. I'll continue to fight with President Trump and his administration for Montana first policies that will increase our energy dominance. So good news for Colstrip. That's the Trump W of the week.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What could really be done to address persistently high federal government deficits? Three economists with extensive experience in federal budgeting shared their collective wisdom in a new research paper. In the crossfire of misleading and combative budget debates now in full swing in Washington, their advice stands out as prescient and wise. Some of their points are obvious, but need to be said. Pro-growth policies can't and won't by themselves stabilize budget deficits, let alone shrink or reverse them. They come to this conclusion by studying seven different areas of policy in depth and considering their costs and benefits. It certainly helps to grow faster, but pretending that growth can stave off tax hikes and spending cuts to address growing deficits is just folly. Some growth policies hold more promise, especially those aimed at reducing regulation to spur investment or in using federal power to intervene to get infrastructure like electric transmission lines built. I'm Patrick Brown.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's not exactly kissing and making up, but the New York Times reports that Elon Musk, once the best buddy of President Trump, called him privately to tell him that he wanted to express regret on his platform X for some of the tweets that went too far. For example, tying him to Jeffrey Epstein. For example, calling for his impeachment. So they did speak, and then Musk followed through on his platform and said that he had regrets. Meanwhile, ABC's decision to fire Terry Moran, getting a lot of support from the right, criticizing Moran for going on this late night spree in which he attacked both Donald Trump and Stephen Miller as being world-class haters, but not a lot of coverage on the other networks. Could it be that they don't want to dwell on a problem, a self-inflicted wound involving one of their own? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Well, Montana's winter wheat condition ratings are 57% good to excellent and just 22% poor to very poor. On the other hand, spring wheat condition ratings across Montana not shaping up too great. Here's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
They look at the spring wheat numbers for the week ending June 8th. We finished up, obviously, with the planting last week. So looking at the spring wheat emergence numbers, 82% of the crop emerged by June 8th, 1 point ahead of average, 4 points behind last year's 86%. Crop is fully emerged now in Minnesota, South Dakota, and Washington. But we are seeing some delays in emergence due to drought in Montana. Just 63% emerged, 5-year average 87%. And speaking of drought, that is pulling the condition down in some areas, notably in Montana. Overall, just 53% of the spring wheat rated good to excellent, 9% very poor to poor. And while that does represent an improvement from last week when we were at 50% good to excellent and 13% very poor to poor, there are those concerns. Montana wheat currently rated 26% poor, none of it very poor. And I do want to point out, last year at this time, the much better rated spring wheat crop was 72% good to excellent and just 3% very poor to poor on a national basis.
Winter wheat looks pretty good driving out in the countryside in my neck of the woods, but spring wheat, on the other hand, looking pretty tough. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David Noble in the house here on this Thursday. We were joking about, you know, it's like, I don't know if you guys get this too, but it's actually really fun. My wife will find the funniest videos on like Instagram or on these Facebook reels, and I'll have like 8 or 9 of them to watch. I got to stack them together and watch them all in one shot, but pretty hilarious.
I'm putting out a ton of reels now because Twitch. So I do my live streams on Twitch, and Twitch has a built-in reels generator. And so like as I'm streaming, if I am like going on a talk or something, and I say something pretty good over the last like couple of minutes, I can just click a button, and boom, it turns that like section of my stream into a reel. And so all of the best parts of my Twitch live streams are reels on my Lecture Fan Instagram account and on my Lecture Fan YouTube. And if folks, if you guys have YouTube and Instagram, go watch my reels on YouTube, Lecture Fan on YouTube, because I will earn money from YouTube ad revenue if you watch them on YouTube. But on Instagram, I don't. So
that's great. Earn money. David, you are supposed to do all of this for free. You are supposed to do everything for free. You think that like we should actually be supporting conservative content on the radio, on podcast, and everything? Like,
I do think so. And here's the deal, Aaron.
No, I totally agree. People should be supporting you.
Lots of people do online.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people donate money to me online simply because they recognize. Here's the truth about it, right? Me and you, Aaron, are really taking a big risk by going on the air publicly and supporting socially conservative policies, fiscally conservative policies, foreign policy conservative policies. Like, if we say even one thing, or if the culture in the country goes a different way, like we're putting ourselves out there, and we're going to be first on the list to get arrested and thrown in the gulag if anything goes south. So I think a lot of conservatives really respect that, and especially sort of back when cancel culture was, by the way, Democrats still totally support cancel culture. It's amazing. They're still out there, you know, trying to get people fired from their jobs if somebody says something they disagree with. But a lot of conservatives just really respect that somebody like you or I is willing to go out there in the public and fight for the right thing and do the right thing and put our own lives and careers and well-being on the line for better the country.
If they then hear a commercial on the radio during the show, too, our listeners are so loyal that they will go support that business just because they heard them on this show, right?
Yeah. Carbon County, shout out to the Carbon County Republican women. But I'd love to have been hearing their recent ads.
Isn't that a that I actually messaged our marketing team. I said, whoever produced this Carbon County Republican women's commercial, it is a great sounding commercial. And, you know, promoting the events they got going on. And then it was funny. I think it's Pat Plowman's voice that's in the ad, if I'm not mistaken. It sounds like Pat down there in Carbon County. And she even says at the end, she says, oh, and, you know, men, you can show up too, you know, kind of at the end. But you know, these conservative women that are leading the charge in so many fronts.
You know, one of my best friends, Will, still involved in Montana politics, he always used to say, you know, it takes a real man to be a Republican woman.
That's hilarious. Let's see. Tied in with the Trump W of the week, the Trump win of the week that we were talking about, David, I know you covered this on Friday as the news came out. But, yeah, I mean, the federal government, i.e. the Trump administration, gave the green light for the Bull Mountains coal mine. That's yet another, pro-worker, pro-jobs, pro-American energy move by the Trump administration.
That's even,
it's just been a series of moves.
That's even a pro-ice hockey rink. That's even a pro-sports complex here in Billings without having to do a $160 million bond levy or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful, clean coal is going to pay for that beautiful new indoor hockey arena, the Signal Peak Ice Arena. Yeah. I want to get your take on something. So I talked about this about an hour ago. You might have heard me mention it while you were driving in. So yesterday on the show, speaking of mining, you know, let's talk about the mining city of Butte, which has been abandoned by the Democrat Party. I think that the Montana Democrats, I think they take Butte Democrats for granted. I think they have been, I think behind the scenes, Montana Democrats laugh at Butte Democrats because they take all these positions and they support all these policies that could potentially shut down the mining city of Butte, America. But yet a lot of people still keep voting for the Democrats. And so, but I thought it was interesting. So the Montana Women's Prison, yesterday we had the chief executive for Butte Silverbow on the show, and we were talking about the future of the Montana Women's Prison. They're talking about either building a new location in Billings or building a new women's prison in Butte. That was the early conversation, but apparently Billings doesn't want it because now the three locations that they're considering putting the new women's prison in are Hardin, Butte, and the greater Boulder area, which is, of course, south of Helena. And so, but Butte, it sounds like Butte folks, some of their city leaders are saying, no, we don't want it. We don't need this type of economic development project. So hold on for a second. The Carbon County Republican women, we've got one of them on the phone line, so we'll get to her here in just a second. But David, real quickly, the point I made, so yesterday I was talking with the chief executive for Butte Silverbow, and I said, you know, it's interesting. I said, the Montana Women's Prison, if there was an opportunity to get an economic development project, if that's what you want to call it, 100 jobs, you know, union jobs, Butte 15, 20 years ago would have been fighting for a project like, would have been screaming for a project like this. But basically, the indications I'm hearing from their leadership is like, nah, Hardin can have it, Boulder can have it. And I just think that, so that the theory I threw out about an hour ago was, isn't it interesting that under now Republican leadership at the state level, the legislature and the governor, and President Trump, who is pro-mining, that now Butte doesn't need this project because Butte's doing pretty well under Republican policies now, economically speaking. I mean, isn't that kind of interesting?
I mean, I think that's a great point. It makes no sense to me why they wouldn't. I mean, typically any city, any county would always want some kind of development like that. But you know what's interesting is the Democrats don't believe in holding criminals accountable. And in fact, if you go back to like the Soviet Union and the Bolsheviks and the communists, they actually viewed criminals as class allies because they viewed criminals as, basically they were criminals because of capitalists were so mean they had to be criminals. And so they actually supported criminals more than capitalists. And you're starting to see that more with the Democrat Party now. But that's the leadership of the Democrat Party, the Gavin Newsoms of the world. I don't think your run-of-the-mill Butte Democrat is is a radical leftist communist.
They probably actually are more just like, you know, you and I and most Trump conservatives out there right now. But a lot of them just vote for the Democrats because that's what they've always done. Hold that thought, David. Let's go to Cynthia in Red Lodge. Cynthia, great to hear from you. Yeah, we love that Carbon County Republican Women commercial. It sounds great.
Well, thanks, Aaron, and thank you for all the support. When we had our Trump store last summer, you really plugged it on the air, and a lot of people showed up because of that. You're right, you have very loyal listeners, and I just want to say it does take all of us to get this left-wing influence from being so embedded in Montana, and we've got a lot of work to do. People think, well, Trump's in office and we're good. Montana is really being threatened. These people put money behind these left-wing candidates that pose as Republicans. We have one in Carbon County, and they vote with the Democrats. And it's going to change our state unless we get busy on the grassroots level and do something about it. So that's what we are. That's what we're about.
And now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
In fact, Cynthia, now that I hear your voice, that's your voice in that commercial, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you sound great there. Hey, hold that thought, Cynthia, because I know some folks may have heard the commercial. Some may not have heard it yet. But I know you've got an event, I think, coming up here pretty soon. So stand by. We'll come back to you right after this. And then we'll mix it up a little bit more with David Noble here as well. Cynthia, stick with us here because I definitely want to hear more from you.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That's right. Yeah, David Noble and I were just talking during the break. The news story about J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, being in Dillon and Butte earlier this week. The Associated Press now has a story out. It's funny, though. David, they can never say your name.
No,
they can never say your name, but at least they actually credited the show.
The Montana Talks radio show.
For breaking the news.
Because typically they'll just say, you know, oh, some right-wing commentator, radio host, or, you know, it's just so obvious.
Yeah, they don't want it. They never want it. And it's funny because
we quote them and give them citations all the time.
Because it's the right thing to do. It's the ethical thing to do. See, isn't it funny? Like, we're conservative commentators. We're not, you know, news reporters, although we end up breaking a lot of news. But, like, yet we follow more journalistic ethics than they do when they're the ones who virtue signal about how journalistic-y they are all day long, right?
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
As they freak out over Donald Trump and, you know, everything. All right, let's go back to Cynthia and Red Lodge. So, Cynthia, yeah, tell us about the Carbon County Republican Women event you got coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Silver Strike in Red Lodge, which is the bowling alley slash bar slash, I guess, casino. And it's a fun place and a very conservative ownership. And so we love patronizing them, and they are going to host we're hosting the event there. It's from 4 to 7 on Saturday, this Saturday, President Trump's birthday and Flag Day. And we're going to have cake and charcuterie and a free drink if you're interested. If you're somebody who's been thinking about getting your toe in the water and wanting to be more involved, we are a group that is involved, and we can help you be involved. And you can see, like, we are the people who keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on. Most people don't have the time to do that.
Yeah.
So we.
Well, that's why so many people look to you. You know, when these elections come around and people get their absentee ballots and they're like, they have questions, they're like, well, let me get a hold of Cynthia and the Carbon County Republican Women, see what's going on. Well, thanks for all you do. Thanks for listening. So cool that you happen to be listening as we were talking about that commercial. And yeah, maybe, hey, folks, if you're thinking about, you know, taking a drive up the Beartooth Pass this weekend, you can time it out so you can pop in and joining on their event there as well.
You know, the comment that Cynthia made that I really liked and that I thought was really good is, we have to do this as conservatives. We have to individually, as conservatives in this state, go to events like that, get involved, because she's right that the left and the Democrats bring in a ton of out-of-state money to, and the only, because apparently we don't have big out-of-state conservative funders. I don't know why we don't, but it'd be nice if we did. But because of that, we have to take it into our own hands. And it kind of reminds me of a story I covered when I was guest hosting, Aaron, which is, I don't know if you saw this, but the left is now trying, they're going to have paid signature gatherers to try to get a constitutional initiative to have to put nonpartisan judicial elections in the Constitution. It's just so blatantly obviously, it's like, oh, so you guys noticed that, you know, the governor and the legislature was trying to do partisan judicial elections, almost got it across the finish line. And so what's their response is not to go to the people about the issue through the legislative process or anything like that. But no, we're going to do one of these initiatives. And the reason they do that is because then they can have unlimited out-of-state funding.
Yeah. And think about it. Think about it, too, because so basically, you've got the same dark money mega donor activists running that campaign,
which would be the Bullocks and the Testers.
Yeah. So basically, you've got Democrat dark money operatives getting a bunch of out of state money. They can also get foreign money, right? And we don't know where they. And then they can dump that into Montana to interfere with our elections. And then they can fund Supreme Court candidates with that same Democrat dark money mega donor out of state money to get the Supreme Court candidates on the bench that they want to overturn anything they want from the legislature through that abusive power going on there. But here's the other interesting angle: is the Montana legislature passed a bill to prevent foreign money in Montana elections. Foreigners can't contribute to federal elections, but they for whatever reason are allowed to spend money on ballot initiative campaigns in Montana. How do you think they, which basically says they can do anything, they can pass any law they want and use foreign money to do so. That's what they did with, you know, legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana, and no limits abortion and things like that. And so, and the Democrats in the legislature voted against that. And then voted to water it down. And even a handful of Republicans voted with the Democrats to water that legislation down. What the heck were these, you know, the 9 Republicans doing there, helping foreigners have influence in our elections? Like, look, I get it if you thought you needed Medicaid expansion because of your rural hospitals, but what does that have to do with foreigners spending money in our elections? I mean, it was like, what were you guys thinking? It's just like, oh, just stick it to the Republicans just because. Now, fortunately, I talked with Braxton Mitchell.
I was going to say, don't they have some new laws on the signature gatherers?
So Representative Braxton Mitchell got the law across the finish line, even though it got watered down. I spoke with the Commissioner of Political Practices. They still believe it's got enough teeth in it to be able to enforce it with the existing authorities under the Commissioner of Political Practices office. But again, I'm skeptical because this liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court will let these, you know, out of state, sometimes foreign mega donors do and get away with whatever they want to get away with. So that's I think the liberal mob in the Montana Supreme Court will still figure out a way to allow foreigners to influence our Montana elections, which is outrageous.
I mean, and just out of state paid signature gatherers like nagging you on the sidewalk is just so off-putting. It's like, look, if you're an actual Montanan and you're volunteering to gather signatures on an issue that's important to you, like, I'll listen to you all day. If you're an out-of-stater being paid by foreign money and you don't even know what you're gathering signatures for and you're nagging everybody on the sidewalk, that was so off-putting. And it sounds like we're going to have the same thing here going forward with this new nonpartisan judicial election thing.
Yeah. People will email me, and then I will CC Caden, our producer, so that if they want to be on the show, we can get them on the show, because I'm in the middle of yapping. Caden's the guy who gets the job done, right? You know, our great producer here. So, but people will just email me, and I'm like, I CC'd our producer for a reason. Hit reply all, please. Anyway, so that's what I was sending a quick email off there for a big topic
always
later this morning.
Always got to reply all.
Not always. Yeah. Hey, what does people want for lunch today? The menu's attached. And then it's like, oh, I'll have – you don't need to reply all for that one. You can just reply to the sender on that one. Oh, man. What is going on in the Middle East?
I can get your take. This news came out that basically they're not forcing military families and dependents to leave the Middle East, but they're saying, hey, we will pay for your dependents and your families and non-essential personnel to evacuate the Middle East. So sounds like either they're thinking Iran might be up to something, or maybe Israel might be launching a preemptive strike.
So check this out. Did you know Miranda Devine has started her own podcast now?
Yeah.
And so her very first...
Pod Force One,
yes. Yeah. And her first guest was none other than President Donald J. Trump. And so actually last night... I think she posted her first podcast last night. I listened to the entire thing. It's a 45 minute interview with President Trump. But here's the thing, Aaron. Before this news came out about while Israel's thinking about striking Iran and the U.S. is sort of trying to protect some of its personnel and stuff like that, that Miranda Devine podcast with Donald Trump was recorded before all that news came out. And so here I was last night, Aaron, listening to the news about Israel and Iran and everything else, and listening to this podcast. And the podcast with Trump was very clearly recorded like three or four days ago. And Miranda Devine asked Donald Trump, do you think you're going to be able to get a deal with Iran? And for the very first time, he said, no, I don't think so. He said, something happened to Iran. I thought they wanted to make a deal, but they don't. And so I think, and of course the big news in the media has been President Donald Trump is telling Israel no, and right, and because President Trump did not want Israel to go and strike Iran in the middle of talks, which it makes perfect sense, and that's why, you know, President Trump was very upset with Russia for launching strikes on Ukraine when they're in the middle of talks, right? And so why would Donald Trump say that it was inappropriate for Russia to strike Ukraine while we're in talks, but then at the same time say it's okay for Israel to strike Iran during talks? But the fact that Donald Trump now believes a deal is not possible, I think an Israeli strike on Iran is in the cards here shortly.
So that's what Politico Playbook is reporting this morning. CBS's Jennifer Jacobs have a report where they claim that Israel is fully ready to launch an operation into Iran. But, yeah, Iran, I mean, unfortunately, it is a terrorist regime in Tehran. As Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana, who grew up in Iran, would tell you. And so they are so radical that, you know, some regimes believe in self-preservation, and so they won't do some stupid things because they
understand...
But when
you're a suicide bomber regime...
But yeah, when you're a suicidal Islamic terrorist regime like what they have in Tehran, you don't care. You think you're going to go to, you know, and get the 72 virgins. So, yeah.
Fox News commentary.
Gavin Newsom is likely thrilled beyond belief that the burning streets of L.A. are distracting residents from the other problems he created. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
California Governor and podcaster Gavin Newsom is surely relieved that, at least for the week, Californians may be more distracted with flames and riots than all the other things wrong with the state he drove into the ground. His state is suffering a massive budget shortfall, has the third highest unemployment rate in the nation, a high poverty rate, and the largest homeless population in the country. The state's Medicaid program, Medi-Cal, has expenditures $6 billion higher than expected due to all the illegals on the program. The state is also bracing for yet another gas tax hike. And then there's the bullet train to nowhere, the $20 billion that went poof to solve homelessness. So at least for now, he can get on camera and yap about President Trump sending the National Guard and Marines to keep his largest city from burning to the ground. And that is a nice and welcome distraction for California Governor Gavin Newsom. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., we'll look at the latest with these protests, these riots that started in L.A. Are they catching on in other cities across America? Plus, Clay.
We'll break down the absolute latest on the big, beautiful bill as we continue to track it as it winds its way towards passage. All that and more Thursday edition, Clay and Buck.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Do pick up a chance for some widely scattered showers and storms developing into the afternoon. High temperatures into the upper 70s. For tonight, still that lingering chance for some showers and storms, especially in the evening, with lows in the low to mid-50s, and some patchy fog developing later on tonight. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Despite the success of the Montana GOP, are the wheels about to come off? Yeah, Don Kay has had a very successful tenure as chairman of the Montana Republican Party, but he's not running for re-election. So what could happen next? Great conversation with Don Kay and much more. Check out the full audio, the full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com. And if you missed our recent show with David Allen talking about the Dale Earnhardt
/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
So, David, one of the things I was going to, you know, offer up for the woke update of the week here, there's a few things we can do here. But I just was going to play this soundbite. This is Linda Sanchez, I think, or a Democrat representative Sanchez, but it's the wrong audio file, or I would play it for you because you really got to hear the groaning in the background. So Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday. And, you know, of course, like a typical, you know, congressional hearing, the Democrats want to take shots at him and attack him, but then not allow him to respond. And of course, and then he's trying to respond and fact check them. And then they get mad that he is responding. And no, it's my time, sir. You don't get to talk right now.
Reclaiming my time, reclaiming.
And so she's like, it's my time. You don't get to talk. Ah. And then she finally says, you're just interrupting me because I'm a woman. And the whole crowd goes, oh. I mean, you just hear everybody be like, are you freaking kidding me? Oh, yeah, it's sexism. It's like, you know, people are so done with this woke, political correct garbage that she throws up the sexism card. It's just because I'm a woman. And the whole place just groaned. She looked like a complete moron.
Good. Well, hopefully the Democrats will not learn their lesson on that. And very clearly, the Democrats have not learned very many lessons from 2024. So my woke update was that Democrat state rep from Minnesota who openly admitted on the House floor of the, I think it was a Minnesota State House, that she's an illegal alien.
Yeah. And then she tried to walk it back. Yeah. She's like, I'm in this country illegally and I'm a state representative in Minnesota, which explains a lot.
Right. Right.
About Minnesota, yeah. And then she tried walking it back. It's like, well, get on out of here then.
These Democrats are openly, they're openly siding with illegal aliens over the citizens of America. It's truly something to behold.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Davis Hanson, the great historian, you know, raised the question earlier this week, why is California Governor Gavin Newsom going full Jefferson Davis? I mean, that's what Gavin Newsom is doing. I mean, he is literally, you know, the George Wallace of our day right now. You know, how dare you bring in the National Guard to my state, you know?
Right. When all the federal government is doing is trying to simply enforce the laws, which, by the way, guess what? The president takes an oath to faithfully execute the laws. And guess what our laws say? Our laws say that if you're an illegal alien, you get deported. And so the Democrats are openly out there flouting federal law. And, of course, they've got a long history of flouting federal law. And it's just another example. But they've exposed themselves. Here's the thing. We're talking about the Butte Democrats. You know, these Butte Democrats aren't hardcore communists. I don't think a lot of the Democrat voters around the country are hardcore open borders activists either, you know. And so I think we can use this as an opportunity to really help inform everybody out there about who these Democrats really are.
David Noble, great to have you in the house as always. Hold that thought. I want to give you a final thought if we can sneak something in here. But, hey, folks, I just looked at the weather forecast. It's going to be like 80 degrees and sunny in parts of Montana this weekend. What a great time to get out and get some camping in or get out on the water with your new pontoon boat or maybe a fishing boat. If you don't have either of those yet, I'll tell you what, you got to go see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've got the largest inventory in a 5-state region, plus local family-owned, Montana-owned company. In fact, I just saw Dustin Brett's yesterday. Had a great time catching up with Dustin Brett's. He's at the Billings location. You can stop and see Brad and his crew at the Butte location, or Brandon and his whole crew. Brandon Brett's there at the Missoula location. But yeah, brettsrv.com in the meantime. As well, if you want to go do a recon on their inventory. But yeah, I was just out on my pontoon last Sunday. Had a great time out there. It's always, David, it's always easier to come in after you've had a good weekend and work, right?
Well,
it's
hopefully you got a little sun and you didn't pack on the sunscreen or the seed oils or anything.
yeah, I got some good sun, that's for sure. You know, I gotta get rid of those Bill Clinton pasty white thighs whenever I can, you know?
Yeah, well, when the Democrats tell you don't get in the sun and don't eat meat, you know, that's not very healthy.
And don't exercise.
That's the MAGA movement, yeah.
yeah. And Gavin Newsom arresting the paddleboarder.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What could really be done to address persistently high federal government deficits? Three economists with extensive experience in federal budgeting shared their collective wisdom in a new research paper. In the crossfire of misleading and combative budget debates now in full swing in Washington, their advice stands out as prescient and wise. Some of their points are obvious, but need to be said. Pro-growth policies can't and won't by themselves stabilize budget deficits, let alone shrink or reverse them. They come to this conclusion by studying seven different areas of policy in depth and considering their costs and benefits. It certainly helps to grow faster, but pretending that growth can stave off tax hikes and spending cuts to address growing deficits is just folly. Some growth policies hold more promise, especially those aimed at reducing regulation to spur investment, or in using federal power to intervene to get infrastructure like electric transmission lines built. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.